Right now, there's a lot to talk about and look at in the world of news. And on Thursdays at this time, we're always joined by Brian Ross and Real News, where we get together with Brian and we take a look at some of the major stories that are out there. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall.
You know, it's I'm 68, and I'm old enough to remember many Israeli wars against Egypt and against the Allied front against Israel. And I think there's a lot of young people out there that are now seeing what we all saw, not only with Israel, but also in Northern Ireland, where things can just ramp up in a matter of what seems like seconds to almost warlike sittings.
Absolutely. And look at it. And obviously, Hamas has had huge stockpiles of rockets, mini missiles that they've been firing off and saving for apparently this moment.
You know, it's something to sit here and watch and develop as a basis. And there's not too much countries can do, really, until Hamas and Israel agree to some sort of lowering of the tensions, and other countries can then get involved and try to once again iron out some sort of settlement that'll last for an amount of time. But against that, the look at that story, you look at some other stories that are very, very, very important here in the United States. And one of those stories is what happened in Washington, where a true conservative voice, Liz Cheney, who most progressives or Democrats don't agree with probably 99% of the time, but her voice to talk about national items and the Republican agenda has been silenced. And I think, I don't know, Brian, that by them silencing her voice within the party, they've given her a bigger megaphone out of the party.
Absolutely, and I think it's a remarkable media strategy on her part, because she obviously saw this coming. And instead of trying to fight it, she's accepted her fate, going out in a blaze of glory, talking about enabling the liar and former president trying to undercut democracy. She's not backing down, and the actions by the Republican caucus, the members of the House that are Republicans, met. They did not give their names. They did not take account, just a voice vote, so they have no idea who voted for it or not. And they can all say they did, or they can always say, no, well, that wasn't me. But in any case, it's given her a remarkable platform to further her effort, and I think that something is happening there in the Republican Party. Finally, there is going to be a opposition in the party that is not dedicated to loyalty to Donald Trump and his big lie. He continues to insist the election was stolen. I think thinking people who look at the facts know that's not the case. And that so many Republicans in Congress would put their entire careers on the line like this because they're afraid of Donald Trump, it's disgraceful.
Well, what's interesting about the way this is developing, there's not enough, of course, the House is just almost 100%, really probably 90% pro-Trump, and the Senate is I don't know, you can't tell what senators, because they don't, unlike Congress people, they don't reveal their cards, they're very good poker players, but still, there's probably only about 15 senators, maybe 25 senators, and probably about 10, 11 congresspeople. But the group of 100 prominent Republicans that are floating the idea of breaking off and forming another party, we know it's so hard to do in this country to form a third party that can really on a equal
right.
basis take on
right.
the Democratic and Republican Party.
Very difficult. It never really has worked. I don't think it will this time either. More likely is going to be a showdown in the off-year elections. You know, a year and 6 months from now will be the next big election. We'll see how the Republicans do as they try to retake the House, retake the Senate. History has shown that a party divided, fighting itself, doesn't usually win.
Yeah, it's a strange time, and it's a time where hopefully we'll be able to look back in history and mark this time as a turning point one way or another in this country.
But history will not be kind to those Republicans. I think it will be kind to Liz Cheney. And, you know, for many, for yourself included, you know, progressives, her voting record would not be something you would support. But here she's standing up for a bigger principle, and that is that, you know, just because he said it doesn't mean it's true. And the fact that she'll challenge him, by him I mean Donald Trump, I think is just, you know, what a remarkably courageous stand for her to take. I think she knows that it's put her career on the line. She's willing to take that gamble. And, you know, what will happen, they're looking for somebody to run against her in the Republican primary in Wyoming. I don't think they're going to be successful there. She'll be a voice, and she'll be a beacon for others who may want to say, I don't stand for the lie.
Well, I can only equate it like this. I don't agree with most of Lynn Cheney's philosophy, but as a progressive living within now the Democratic Party, I voice my opinion all the time. Bernie Sanders voices his. Alexander AOC, she voices hers all the time, and they're not drummed out of the party. Now Bernie's not a Democrat, but still, he votes Democrats. He sits with the Democrats. That's the big difference. You don't have to agree with what we say, but to try to completely stifle it and muffle it as a party is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous precedent to set.
Right. I think that the Republicans would argue, well, she can say whatever she wants, but we don't want her in our leadership position because she does not agree with the majority of our members, and therefore she's not a good leader. But it's very symbolic that they decided to take her on with, you know, from their point of view, a sterling votes record on conservative issues, unlike Elise Stefanik, who's being touted as the replacement for her, who is far more moderate.
Well, that's the whole thing. The terms, it's all about philosophy, and it's all about legislation, and it's all about political ideas. And what's happening in politics nowadays, it's become social mediaized, where there's instant polls by social media. And because Donald Trump, and you have to give it to him, he does have a sizable following. There's no doubt about it. There's, what was it, 70 million people out there that voted for him, 10 million less than Joe Biden, but there's still 70 million people that voted for him. But the Republicans seem, in my opinion, to take that too literally, thinking that I think they're trying to play the long game, where they think that if they support him now and he doesn't run and he can't run, and that the voters will come to them. That is a big gamble to take with America's history.
It certainly is, and you say it's about policy and legislation. I think it's about money and power, and they don't want to give up either. And their calculation is that by being so incredibly loyal to Donald Trump and accepting his big lie and not challenging it, that will mean the money comes in from contributors and people will vote for them. And we'll see if that's true. We're going to find out. I think it'd be a huge miscalculation, my own personal view of this, just as somebody who looks a little bit at politics. I think they've miscalculated about the mood of the people. I really do.
All right, very quickly, what do you think about this ransomware attack on, once again, a private...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know, this is a long time coming. We've seen it with so many other police departments, hospitals around the world. And it's a real thing, and it shows you to the extent to which we are dependent and become reliant on doing everything on the Internet, and therefore we are vulnerable, and it's very hard to prevent. And lots of companies have been advised to actually, by their insurance companies, to go ahead and pay. Which, of course, emboldens those, whether they're criminal gangs or state actors. And once you know that, you know, it's like with kidnapping. If you pay for a ransom, you're going to have more kidnappings. And it's a real issue, and it's not easily solved.
Yeah, and I mean, you can go back and look at the big hack that happened at Sony and all the people that got affected with personal information, not just emails, but personal information.
As we saw what the Russians did with the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton, as criminal gangs have done around the world with police departments, hospitals, city hall offices, you know, to the extent to which we all live on the Internet now, it means we're all very, very vulnerable. And, and Colonial so far has said it's not going to pay. Showdown coming. Can they really do anything?
Well, as an investigative reporter, you must like to get behind and follow stories like this.
Oh, this is a big one. And this, you know, I've done stories a number of times in other efforts to essentially gain ransom for releasing files or unlocking The Iranians apparently did it to the Saudi oil company, to Aramco. There are a lot of very vulnerable positions and places and companies and governments in this world that will face similar attacks, because it's just, at this moment, it's far too easy to break in and to hold hostage the operating systems or important documents or files or just the ability to turn on the lights.
It's amazing times we live in, Brian. We'll speak to you next week.
Great, Marshall. Good talking to you.
Take care. Brian Ross and Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. You can also find Brian on our website, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Robin Hood Radio on demand, and then just scroll down and go to the Brian Ross segment, and all the shows are archived there.